been 20 years ago I covered this here in the church, and some of you weren't members here then. And I always try to get new material. It may not seem like it, but I do. And so I haven't taught this in, I guess, 20 years, except intermittently here and there. Vatican Thinking Evolves. This was the latest issue of Time magazine. The Pope gives his blessing to natural selection, evolution. The statement is unlikely to influence the curriculum of Catholic schools where evolution has been taught since the 1950s. Indeed, reading the entire Bible literally has not been a dominant practice among Catholics through much of the 20th century. Asked about the Pope's statement, Father Peter Dreyenkos, editor of the 1991 Catholic Encyclopedia, said, "It's essentially what Augustine was writing. He tells us that we should not interpret Genesis literally and that it is poetic and theological language. If you don't interpret Genesis literally, you might as well throw the whole Bible away." Now, I admit God wrote a very simple account because he wrote it, first of all, to a bunch of people wandering around in the Sinai. But it is a simple account, but it is inspired, and it is literal. John Paul does not interpret the Bible literally. That's the caption underneath his picture. In his message to a meeting of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which had taken the origin of life as its theme, John Paul described the shift in the Church's view of evolution that has taken place since Pope Pius XII issued his encyclical Humana Generis in 1950. John Paul wrote, "Consider the doctrine of evolution as a serious hypothesis worthy of a more deeply studied investigation. Today, new knowledge leads us to recognize the theory of evolution is more than a hypothesis. But the teaching about Adam has also been subdued," says Father Richard P. McBrien, a liberal theologian at the University of Notre Dame. "No scripture scholar today would say we are literally descended from two people." In other words, he's saying we didn't come from Adam and Eve. Well, you might as well throw the whole thing away if that's not true. Because even in a figurative or emblematic sense, the Bible is very clear on that point. And then I showed the cover from Time magazine, and God said, betrayal, jealousy, careerism, they're all in the Bible's first book. Now, there's a spiritual new debate over the meaning of Genesis. Here's what Burton Vysotsky, conservative rabbi, has to say. Read simply, Genesis is an ugly little soap opera about a dysfunctional family. That is what causes us to have such a strong identification with it in the first place. And now we look at an activist pastor. That's what's great about the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. Folks can resonate to the basic funkiness of a human relationship like this. And on the earth today, we've got homosexuality. We've got lesbianism. This was on Newsweek magazine. We're having a baby. Can gay families gain acceptance? What it's like for the kids. So the world today is in a terrible, terrible shape. And today, even religious leaders, supposed religious leaders, are beginning to doubt the Word of God and beginning to doubt creation. So last Sunday, I was talking about some things in 2 Peter, and I was just talking about them. I was really after something else, but I started talking about what happened a long, long time ago. And it may take two or three sessions, but I'm going to get around to the dinosaurs. I'm going to get around to evolutionary processes, and eventually I'll cover the whole thing, and I'll cover it thoroughly, and I'll use lots of scriptures. We probably won't finish this morning, but Lord willing, next Sunday I'll take up right where I left off, and eventually we're going to talk about how long man's been on the earth. Did we descend from two people? Were they Adam and Eve? We're going to cover all those subjects, and we're going to cover it in such a way that it gives an answer to what a lot of theistic evolutionists are claiming, a lot of evolutionists are claiming, and a lot of ungodly scientists are claiming. 2 Peter 3:1 through 9. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Today, I would say probably at least 90% of the world doesn't even believe there's a God. They're laughing at the account of creation. They're making fun of it. The idea that we descended from two people and that God made them in a garden called Eden. And today, the world is being swept by evolution, and it's being accelerated every day, and it's taught as a fact in public schools at the present time. And it tells you in the last days, Peter, thousands of years before it happened, told you what they would be saying. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The point here made is a very succinct one that's really pressed home. You've been telling us for 2,000 years that Jesus is coming. Where is he? They're laughing at it now. They say, look at the earth. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They don't believe there's a God. They don't believe Christ is his son. They don't believe God formed the earth. Then Peter begins to tell them where they're making their basic mistake, these last day men that Peter prophesied would one day occur. And they are occurring. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That is not the flood of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Time means nothing to God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has waited a very long time since his son was crucified. He's been longsuffering with mankind, giving man more than an ample opportunity to receive his son. Now, last Sunday, I began to talk about Genesis 1, 1 and 3. Now, this is not a new teaching. This is a teaching that's been around for a very long time. It was a teaching that was instituted by Dr. Thomas Chalmers, who had a doctor's degree from Oxford University in Bible languages and a degree in geology. Now, this occurred in about 1830, the first time it ever appeared that we're aware of, and that was long before Charles Darwin wrote his first book in 1859 on evolution. Genesis 1, 1 and 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was. That word is hayah or hayitha, and it does not have to mean was. It can mean became, and we're going to take a look at that this morning, and I'm going to give you the background proof to show you why it has to mean became in this particular instance. In other words, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That was the first earth. It was perfect. There were no flaws in it. There were no cracks. There were no upheavals. It was just a beautiful creation by Almighty God. All of a sudden, it became without form and void. Now, without form is the God-breathed word tohu, and it means a chaotic devastation, a mass of absolute confusion. The word void is bohu, and the word bohu means a terrible, horrifying place that has been torn apart, ripped apart. It's just a devastated wilderness. In other words, God didn't create it that way. It became that way, and what caused it was the fall of Lucifer. The Lord indicated, and I beheld Lucifer, I beheld Satan, as lightning fall from heaven. There came a fall from heaven by the one we call Lucifer. Today we call him Satan. Today we call him the devil. We call him that old dragon. He has many names. But he actually began to do something with the life forms that God had originally placed here on this earth. I don't believe in a pre-Adamic race, but I do believe in pre-Adamic creatures, and we're going to get to that eventually as I go along through this. Now, God did not create the earth a huge, chaotic, unbelievable mass of confusion, a torn apart, ripped up place. He didn't do that. And I'm going to show you why. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is the first flood that occurred on the earth. It occurred actually billions of years ago. It occurred when God had placed the first life forms here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They were not large life forms. They were small life forms. They were simple life forms. God had put them here for a purpose, and Lucifer was supposed to superintend and watch over them. Instead of doing that, Satan began to try to create life himself. He began to try to be like God. The Bible indicates he wanted to be like God. God was the creator. There was no one else except God in that category. He was the creator. He was the only being that was not created. He himself has always been. So Lucifer, who was created by God, to become like God, had to create life. That's what we're going to be talking about in these next few sessions. I'm going to be showing you the scriptures that validate what I've said. He took the original life forms and began to try to manipulate them into something that could rule over this earth for him. God, knowing it, caused the destruction and fall of creation, and Lucifer fell. The very thing that Lucifer and his angels had been placed over, the material realm, it fell because Lucifer had forsaken his responsibility and had tried to become like God in simply obeying God, and about a third of the angelic host followed Lucifer and fell with Lucifer, believing Lucifer could become like God. We're going to talk about this more and more, and I'm just giving you a preliminary of the things we're going to be discussing on these next several Sunday mornings, Lord willing. Now, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. God flooded the entire earth. Satan had tried for billions of years to manipulate the life forms down here, and he had come up with dinosauric creatures. He had come up with Tyrannosaurus Rex and all the other dinosauric mazes of confusion, and many of them were carnivorous. Once Satan had tried for billions of years to try and create a life form that could rule over the creation that God had originally placed him over, the material realm, the material creation, he utterly and completely failed. He came up with a creature that walked erect on two legs and was hairy but did not have a soul. It's called Australopithecus. Now, Satan utterly failed. And then God, in actually six literal days, recreated, refurbished the entire earth. At the end of the time of the void and without form state, and Satan for billions of years had tried to create a life form to rule over the earth for him, he utterly failed. And in the end of that, God flooded the entire earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm going to be proving that in Scripture. All I'm doing now is just giving you a preliminary of what we're going to be talking about in the next several Sunday mornings. And the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. He flooded the entire earth. Now, verse 3 in Genesis 1:3 begins a recreation, a refurbishing in six literal days of a creation that God had made billions of years before. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The primordial mist that had surrounded the entire earth, which eventually we'll cover before I'm finished in all of this, broke away, and God, in six literal days, did what Satan could not do in about 6 billion years. In 6 days, God refurbished, recreated, made the present earth on which we dwell. And then he placed a man and a woman on it. He made them himself in a single day in the Garden of Eden, and he breathed into their domestic nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He did not make both of them on the same day. He made Adam on the first day. And then the woman came out of man. Later, he created Adam as a helpmeet for... Later, he created Eve as a helpmeet for Adam. Now, we've been talking about was, became, without form, tohu, and void, bohu. Now, take a look at what Isaiah said about creation. Isaiah 45:18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it." This is definitely talking about the initial creation. Now notice what Isaiah says. He created it not in vain. The word that is used for in vain is tohu. Now remember what Moses said? If that was is actually was and means that's the way God created it, you've got a contradiction in the word of God. Because if that earth is was, then that means that that's the way God created it. But we have a choice here. It can be became. Now, it has to be became because, and the earth became without form and void, because Isaiah says he created it not in vain. He created it not tohu. Without form is tohu in Genesis 1 and 2. And in vain in Isaiah 45:18 is tohu. And Isaiah says he didn't create it tohu, but Moses says he did. If you make that was in Genesis 1, 2, hayah, hayitha, if you make that was, then it's a contradiction. But if it means became, then it's not a contradiction, and it was actually something that happened after God created it when Satan tried to create life. He formed it to be inhabited. "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Not in vain is not tohu. He did not create it tohu, according to Isaiah. Now let's go back to Peter, 2 Peter 3:5-6. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, but by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." That is not talking about the flood of Noah. It is talking about a great flood that occurred at the end of Genesis 1-2, after billions of years had passed and Satan had been unsuccessful in creating a life form to rule over the earth for him, and then in six literal days God formed Adam. On the sixth day he formed Adam. Now, this is from an old diagram by Clarence Larkin. And I want you to notice he has three different earths here. He has a picture of the original earth, the chaotic earth, and the present earth. Notice he has the original earth as Genesis 1:1. He has the chaotic earth as Genesis 1:2. And he has the present earth as Genesis 1:3. Notice he has the chaotic earth in Genesis 1:2, titled the Earth Water Baptism. There was a great long period of time after Lucifer sinned in trying to create life to rule over this earth for him by manipulating the life forms that God had initially put here, that Lucifer tried desperately to do it. He failed. At the end of that time, billions of years had passed since Lucifer first tried to create life, and the earth experienced a water baptism. All the land surface was completely flooded. Now, this is interesting because in science, we can find exact replicas of certain types of fish life, aquatic life, in ancient rocks that are billions of years old. We can find actual life forms that are exactly like the present-day life forms today. But on the land surface, we can't do that, because on the land surface, all life was eradicated by this flood, and God left the life that was in the sea alone, did not destroy it, but used the actual tectonic plates that we've talked about so much to flood the entire earth at the end of Genesis 1-2 and wipe out all the life forms. But the first flood is in the end of Genesis 1-2, and the flood of Noah comes later. Now, as we go through this material, we're going to be talking about the phases of the earth. And as you look at these different phases, it's interesting to see how God has dealt with this earth for a very long period of time. There have been many changes, many transformations. Now, eventually, he's going to end up with a perfect earth, a new heaven, and a new earth. I don't believe it's going to be made out of the same substance that our earth is made of. I believe it's going to be a spiritual earth made out of whatever glorified bodies are made out of. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, the final earth, and that earth will never change. So we start off in these phases of the earth with the original earth. Then the next earth is the ruined earth. Then the next earth is the reshaped earth. Then the next earth is the cursed earth at the time of the flood of Noah. Then we have the earth itself that is flooded at the time of Noah. Then we have the present earth. Now we have a tribulation earth. In reality, though I don't talk about it much, I really believe that this tribulation period, the last 3.5 years that are coming on this earth, are basically close to the same thing that happened back there in Genesis 1-2. I think that at that particular period of time, we had what geologists today call a mountain-building period, when these massive pieces of the earth's crust that float on these underground liquid lakes of rock called magma, God began to move them. He caused a tremendous cataclysmic occurrence where the continents and the land masses began to spread apart. And I say this reverently, all hell broke loose. It was a terrifying, unbelievable devastation that God allowed to occur on the earth because of Lucifer's sin and because he disobeyed God and tried to become like God rather than serving God. In this tribulation earth, which I believe we're going to see in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, I believe we're going to have another geological upheaval of the earth. I think that's what's described in the book of Revelation by Almighty God who made the earth. Following the tribulation earth, we're going to have a millennial earth. And believe it or not, after all that catastrophic terror that's unleashed and fully described in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation by John, there's going to have to be a reshuffling of the earth itself and a great changing in the structure of the earth. And there will be. It will be catastrophic in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Then Christ will rule and reign on this millennial earth for 1,000 years. That will be followed by a renovation of the millennial earth after 1,000 years by fire. And finally, we come to the new earth, which is the final earth, and there'll be no more changes. Now, I can't get to everything I want to get to this morning. I'm going to try to get to as much as I can. I will get around to man. I will get around to the different aspects of man's creation by God in the Garden of Eden. I will get around to how long I think man's been on this earth. I will talk about Bishop Usher's idea that the earth was created in 4004 B.C. I am not a theistic evolutionist. A theistic evolutionist believes that man evolved over a long period of time. That's what the Pope and others are saying. I never have been a theistic evolutionist, and I never will. Man has not been on this earth, man as we know him, very long. But we're going to be talking about that later on, so don't judge me until I get to it. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You can see on this diagram, that is the original earth. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is the chaotic earth in Genesis 1:2. At the end of that time, after Satan had generated all types of life forms, including dinosaurs, horrible, in many cases, carnivorous creatures, however many of them were plant eaters, but he had created these monstrosities. Those monstrosities were not created by God. They were manipulations of the original life forms that God placed here, which were very small protozoa type of creations, perfect creations, and Lucifer was to superintend and monitor these things, but Lucifer did not. He sinned. And when he sinned, he tried to become like God by manipulating them and trying to turn them into something that Satan could have as a creature to rule over this earth, a material creature to rule over material earth that Satan had been placed in charge of by God when he was Lucifer, and then he fell. Now we have in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. That is the restored earth. That's when in six literal days, God begins to recreate the earth, reshape, refurbish all the things that have been destroyed in the billions of years that Satan ruled and reigned on this earth. Now, we are headed toward a millennial earth. Now, we're currently living on this earth in Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the earth has existed in this same state with slight changes during the flood of Noah up until the present time. Now let's take a look at the millennial earth, Isaiah 35:1-2. Here's the millennial earth. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Then we have a renovated earth, renovation of the earth by fire. That renovation of the earth by fire is covered in Revelation 20:7-11. It is something that happens at the end of the millennial reign after Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit where he was placed there 1,000 years before at the end of the tribulation period. And once again, he is allowed to wreak havoc, to wreak havoc on the earth. And once again, fire, this time not from within the earth, but from the very person, the immanence, the presence of God himself, the person of God comes down. A form of fire that we are not familiar with, a fire that is pure latent energy, and this actually destroys the present creation as we know it. Revelation 27:11. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. We've now finished the millennial reign of Christ at this time, and this is the final earth that's about to be recreated by God, but this time not a recreation, but the creation of a whole new type of earth. I personally don't believe it's going to be made out of hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and all those things. I think it's going to be entirely new substance. I don't know what angels are made of. I don't know what the glorified body is made of, but it's not found on a periodic chemistry chart. And I think it's something God himself understands, and it's going to make our bodies and our whole new character and personality completely different from what we are today. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. These are the descendants of those who 1,000 years before Gog and Magog came against Israel. They have children, 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 and finally this is the earth repopulated at the end of the millennial reign, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. This is a fire coming from the very person, the presence, the immanence, the body, the power of Almighty God. It's not like anything we're familiar with. It's pure latent energy. And this is not only going to consume them and devour them, it's going to devour all material things, all flesh, all dirt, all brick, all stone, all wood, everything that this planet is made of, a complete devouring of it. The only things that will survive at that time are the spiritual things of man and those things made of a material of which this earth is not composed. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Now notice, he makes a statement concerning what has happened to the earth, from whose face, in other words, this fire comes from the very presence of God, from the face, the power of God, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. They're gone. They're done away with. They're devoured. And there was found no place for them. They did not exist anymore. They were completely devoured and consumed and destroyed by the imminent personal power of God, a radiant energy of Almighty God, which is God himself. God is light. He is the source of all power and strength. And he's going to do this all by himself without man's help. Now the new earth. The final new earth that God creates is Isaiah 65:17. The only things that will be left are spiritual things, things that are made out of substances that are not material, not hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon, zinc, none of those things. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That bothers a lot of people. When I was younger, it bothered me. And to be perfectly honest, my carnal man's not altogether fond of that. But my carnal man can go take a flying leap. It says, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. I really don't think we're going to have much of a memory of a lot of things. I think we'll remember some things, but I don't think we'll remember all things. And I think this indicates that the former things, when it says shall not be remembered nor come into mind, I think it means that they won't be there anywhere. They'll be gone forever. And I think that's what it means more than us having no recollection of having lived in this life. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That's the place I've been talking about for a long period of time. So what I've been discussing up to this point is the creation of the universe up to the time of the present earth on which we live. Here, once again, we see the original earth, Genesis 1:1. Then we see the second earth, which is the chaotic earth, Genesis 1:2. This is the time that this era of time ended, when the earth was flooded by God and all land creatures, all of them, everything that Satan had manipulated on land and tried to change, God actually destroyed them all. The earth's water baptism. Now we come to the present earth, Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And so there are three different worlds here that occurred. Now, when did this particular event occur? The chaotic earth, the earth's water baptism. Well, the original earth was one landmass. It was in the water, standing out of the water. Geologists today call it Pangaea. They have a name for it. Originally, there was one landmass. You didn't have all this different continents. You didn't have North American continent, South American continent, Europe, Africa, Australia, New Zealand. You didn't have the present land structure. It was one huge landmass, and that was in the original creation. There were no imperfections in it. It was made by God. It wasn't without form and void. It wasn't tohu and bohu. When Lucifer began to try to create what God had already created, and Lucifer tried to manipulate it and use it, and later on I'll show you in Scripture where I believe this is taught, then the creation fell. I think this was probably pretty much what the original creation looked like. I'm not even sure these lines were in here like you see them, but there was one landmass called Pangaea, or some call it Pangaea. In any case, all of a sudden, when Lucifer sinned, a great devastation occurred on this earth. Unbelievable, horrible things happened. The earth began to spread apart. Volcanic eruptions like man had never seen. Terror and horror beyond the wildest stretch of our imagination. That's pretty much what's going to happen in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, particularly the last 45 days or so when the vials of wrath have poured out. Here you see the different phases that the earth went through. Over a long period of time, it began to spread apart. You can see what happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Finally, God flooded the landmass, destroyed all the creatures on it, and today we have this earth sitting here pretty much as you saw it after the continents had spread apart. Now, I don't ask you to believe anything I say unless I give scriptural proof. Everything I've shown so far has been to lead up to the scriptural proof of what I say. I realize the things I'm saying about the life forms and Lucifer manipulating them, Satan, the fallen angel. I realize that may seem a little bit out of the line, but I believe that after I show you in the Sundays to come where the scripture is and why I believe this, you'll see it does no violation to the Bible. I do not believe that man evolved. I believe God made Adam, and then God took Eve out of Adam's side. I believe they were direct creations of God, and I believe we descended from them, and I believe they are very recent on this earth. I do not believe that Adam and Eve were created billions or millions of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago. I don't believe that, so don't think I'm headed in that direction. Nor do I believe in a pre-Adamic race, which you'll see as the Sundays go by. Now, I don't ask anybody to believe what I say unless I present some sort of a proof. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Now, you can see above the word was, and the earth was, I have the word hayah, sometimes called hayitha. And you can see from this very reliable source, Nelson's Expository Dictionary of the Old Testament, it says to become, occur, come to pass, be. To become or come to pass. Yet the simple meaning, become or come to pass, appears often in the English version. So it can be became, the earth became, or it can be was. It can be either one. So which one is it? I believe it's became because Isaiah said he did not create it tohu, and Moses, if that's was, said he did. But if Moses meant became, then they are in perfect agreement, Isaiah and Moses. Genesis 1, the creation. This is the New International Version. I want you to notice in the New International Version, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Now, I want you to notice, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, notice I have was underlined in this New International Version. Notice they have a footnote, or possibly became. So the New International Version clearly admits it could be became. Wilson's Old Testament Word Study is a very reliable word study book. Become, this Hebrew word that you see here, frequently rendered become or became. So I can tell you without hesitation that when I tell you that could mean became, that it's very likely. And the earth became without form. But I know it is because of what Isaiah said. Now let's take New Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. But many of you have one of these. It's a fairly cheap book. Here's the God-breathed word. 1961 is the number in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Hayah. Be or become. Which was it? Well, I want to show you how many times in the Old Testament this word Hayitha, look, see the number? 1961. See all these 1961s over here? See all those 1961s over there? You can see how many times this word, Hayah, is translated became. And man became a living soul, was parted and became and become into four heads. The same became, mighty men which were. And she became a pillar of salt. You can see how many cases there are. You can see there are countless, well, not countless, but a huge number of cases. You can see it for yourself on the screen. So it's not out of line to interpret it in that manner. Now, as far as was, without form, let's take a look at without form. Without form is without. Notice what the definition in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is. A ruin, a vacancy. Notice the face of the waters that are flooded. Now let's take, not in vain, this is the word tohu that is used in Genesis 1-2. Without form, tohu. Now let's look over at Isaiah, not in vain. Isaiah 45:18, you can see in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's listed as tohu. So I want you to see, because many of you don't study the languages, so how do you know I'm telling you the truth? Well, you can see for yourself that in both cases, in Isaiah's not in vain, and in Moses' without form, it is the same identical word, and the words are what are God-breathed and inspired. Isaiah says he didn't create it, tohu, and Moses, in order to agree with Isaiah, that has to be became rather than was. I'm sorry to have to spend so much time on this, but I think it's important for you to see where I'm coming from. Now notice how this word is defined. Wastiness, desolation, emptiness, vanity, a vain thing, worthless. Now God did not create the earth worthless. And it was not a chaotic maze of confusion that God created. I'm not trying to explain away what God did. I'm merely trying to show you the Bible account and how it all fits in with what we know. So here we see all these phases of the earth, the original earth, the ruined earth, the reshaped earth, the cursed earth, the flood, the present earth, the tribulation earth, the millennial earth, the fire that destroys the millennial earth, and the new earth. Notice I've already shown you Genesis 1:1-3, and I've shown you Isaiah 45:18. But look at what Jeremiah says. In a vision that God gives to Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes back to the time of the original creation. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Now notice what he says in verse 25. Without form and void is tohu and bohu. Look at verse 25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. So in the original creation, there was no pre-Adamic race. There was no man. There were life forms, and we're going to be talking about those life forms probably next Sunday morning. We'll get into that. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. There were no birds there. They couldn't see any birds. There wasn't any creation there at that time. There were just protozoa, small microscopic life forms. Now, in Revelation 12, it talks of a time when Lucifer will finally be cast out of the heavenlies and the presence of God forever. And his tale, it goes back and talks about the original creation. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, later on in around verse 14 or 16, 15, somewhere in there, it talks about when Lucifer is cast out for the final departure from heaven. At the present time, he still has access to God at God's invitation. The book of Job in the first chapter validates that. But notice this Revelation 12:4 is referring to a time in the past when Lucifer, who was placed over the creation, caused a third of the angelic host to fall. and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. That's Lucifer. And the third part of the earth, the third part of his angelic realm, the third part of God's angelic realm, the third part of God's angelic realm, a third of them followed Lucifer. Now, many centuries later, billions of years later, actually, when God's Son is coming to redeem man, and the dragon, Satan, stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That was the casting out to direct access to God without limitation. But later on in this chapter, as it goes forward and predicts what's going to happen in our soon coming future, Satan will no longer even be allowed to come into the presence of God with the other angels when God invites him, and he's going to be cast out forever. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll talk about the different type of life forms that God placed here. I'll show you in the scripture where Satan tried to manipulate them, and I think you'll find it very interesting. And there goes the bell, and I finished just about on time.